Now we have the prayer of Paul, because you see that what happens here is that not only does the Holy Spirit regenerate us, not only is the Holy Spirit our refuge, but the Holy Spirit gives reality. Now Paul is led to prayer, and so on behalf of the Ephesians, he prays. And you'll notice what he prays for, and it's very important that we remember this in prayer. He says, verse 15, and this is the prayer of Paul, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now, will you notice this? "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith and love to the saints." Now, this church was noted for its faith and for its love. Love one for another. Love wasn't a motto. It wasn't a bumper sticker in the Ephesian church. It was real. The believers loved each other. And that was the church at its very highest. The Ephesian church in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, represents the church at its very best. That's the early church. And this is the Ephesian church. And they were noted for their faith in the Lord Jesus and for their love unto all the saints. I tell you, this was a great church. And when Paul heard that, he says, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And you notice his prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. Now today, the thing that motivates us in prayer for others is trouble. Sickness, distress, a crisis, that causes us to pray. Now, I recently was asked to pray for a church that I love a great deal because of the things that are taking place inside of the church. No love for the brethren, nothing but gossip, and Bible study no longer the top priority. And some were distressed, and they said, "Dr. McGee, pray for this church." Well, I pray for it. That motivates me to pray. Now, Paul, the thing that motivated him was this type of thing also, but also something good caused him to pray. When you hear something good about some child of God, how God is blessing some preacher, some servant of God, do you get down and say, "Oh, God, I thank you for this brother and the way you're using him"? And when you hear about a wonderful Bible church, and the word going out, you get down and thank God for it. Friends, we turn in too many grocery lists to the Lord. We say, "We want this, we want that, we want the other thing. And Lord, will you do this and will you do that?" God's no messenger boy. Why don't you thank him sometime? Have a Thanksgiving service. A preacher friend of mine told me that their prayer meeting got so stale and dull and so small that they tried something new. And they decided one midweek service in the prayer meeting they'd do nothing but praise God and thank him. He said, "We sure had some brief prayers, but we had a good prayer meeting that night. Nobody asked God for anything, just thanked him what he'd done." I think he'd appreciate all of us having Thanksgiving regularly, not wait once a year, but have it more often than that. And Paul says, when he heard the good news and this wonderful thing about the Ephesian church, he says, "I just cease not to give thanks for you." I just went to God and said, "Lord, thank you for the Ephesians." Have you ever been to God and say, "Lord, I thank you for so-and-so. He's meant so much to me. Thank you for him." My friend, we ought to do a great deal of that and make mention. Paul says, "I make mention of you in my prayers." Now, what's he going to pray for? Paul made requests, too, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Did you notice Paul didn't pray that they get more money, that the debt be paid off? However, I think he would pray for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But he prayed here for something that I don't know whether we pray for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Do we pray for that today? There are people that have prayed for my health, my physical health, and I thank God for them. Oh, 1,000 times. It's wonderful. But I hope sometimes you'll pray, give that fellow McGee a little bit more understanding of the Word, God. He seems to be so ignorant of your Word. I wish you'd pray that prayer sometime. I'd appreciate it very, very much. Now, good news caused Paul to pray. And by the way, we never think really of Paul as being an outstanding example of a man of prayer, do we? Well, when we think of a great missionary of the cross, well, we'd certainly put Paul at the top of the list. And when we want an example of a great apostle, we couldn't find any greater than Paul. And when you want one of the great preachers of the church, in fact, you couldn't get a list of 10 of the greatest preachers of the church without putting Paul as number one. And he was one of the greatest teachers. The Lord Jesus was the greatest, and it said, never man taught as this man taught. Well, Paul certainly followed in that tradition. And he's an example of a good pastor, by the way, as we see him in Ephesus, according to Dr. Luke, weeping with the believers there and how they loved him. I always judge a church by the way that they love their pastor, and especially their ex-pastor. That tells you something about the folk, especially if he stood for the Word of God. And today we need to learn to judge folk by their attitude really toward the Word of God, not how big the Bible is that they put under their arm. Now, when you think of anyone excelling in any field of service in the early church, Paul the Apostle must be up toward the top. But how about a representative of a great man in prayer? Would you put Paul in that list? Well, Moses, the great intercessor on top of the mountain, was a great man of prayer. And we think of him as that. And certainly David, who went before God in dire circumstance because of his awful sin, and he made confession. And Elijah, as he stood alone before a rebuilt altar, drenched with water on a mountaintop. And then there was Daniel, who reveals a man of prayer as he opened his window toward Jerusalem before a hostile power. And the Lord Jesus certainly is a marvelous example to us of prayer, so much so that the apostles came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. But you know, Paul was a great man of prayer. When I was teaching Bible in the Institute here in Southern California in downtown Los Angeles, I always had the students, when we got to the epistles of Paul, to make a list of the prayer list of the Apostle Paul. Every time he said he was praying for somebody, to put it down. And lo and behold, I've had student after student come up and said, my, I didn't know Paul had such a prayer list. Didn't know he prayed for so many people. Well, he was a great man of prayer. And here now we have the example. In fact, there are two prayers of Paul that are here. And we have the one now, having set before us the church as the body of Christ, it just caused him to drop to his knees and begin to pray. And then we're going to find again that when we get to the end of chapter 3, another great prayer of the Apostle Paul. Two right here in the Epistle to the Ephesians. Now, that's a mark, by the way, of a child of God. You know, one of the ways you can tell whether a man is a child of God or not is because of his prayer life. How much does he feel a dependence upon God? And if he feels that dependence upon God, he's going to God in prayer for himself. And he'll also go to God in prayer as intercession for others. Well, that to me is a pretty good indication. You remember that when Ananias, yonder in the city of Damascus, he was disturbed when the angel wanted him to go over to Saul of Tarsus. And he put up an objection. He said, well, that man persecuted the church. And now the angel says, behold, he prayeth. And that was a pretty good indication that something had happened to the Apostle Paul. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, The Ephesians were on his prayer list, and I guess all these churches were, making mention of you in my prayers. And that means he called them by name. I was with a great preacher one day, and some folk came up and spoke to us and shook hands. And one of the men that came up said to this preacher, said, "I'm praying for you." And this preacher, I never shall forget, he said to him, "Well, thank you very much, but do you mention me by name?" He says, "Because I wouldn't want the Lord to get me mixed up with somebody else." Well, call them by name, friends, when you pray for them to the Lord. And somebody says, "Well, he already knows." Well, just make sure that the Lord knows. Pray for folk by name. He says, "I make mention of you in my prayers." And that means he called the name.